Good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity to come in again and have a few words about the Word of God and how it applies to our lives. Thankful for everybody who's here, particularly you, Della. I much appreciate the support of your presence and everybody's presence this morning. I got to say something about the song leader. For those of you who have done the song leading, performed the song leading role, it is difficult. It's nerve-wracking to try to figure out how to lead the people and what songs to sing. And when the person who's speaking doesn't give you anything to go on, it becomes that much more difficult. And I didn't give Bill anything to go on. And so, Bill, I really appreciate the songs that you've led us in, the appropriateness of it, the spirit of it. Thank you so much. Especially that last one. We cannot sing "To Christ Be Loyal and Be True" without thinking about your uncle. You hear Bill over here, right? On it, go with you and... Oh, gosh, you miss him. Thank you for that. That was very moving. Also, yesterday something moved me as well. I got to see Jesus yesterday. In this world in which... there's so many things going on, and we seem to be so hard-hearted. I haven't even shared this with Della yet. I got on the MARTA train yesterday in Atlanta to head to the airport to come back here. And there was no place for my bag, so I had to sit in this seat that's kind of close to the door. And there was this lady, it's kind of an L. So the senior seats facing toward the aisle, and the rest of the seats facing forward and backward in the train car. And so I'm in this L seat, and this lady's in front of me, and she has two bags of buns, two plastic bags of buns, about yay big. And there was a man that came on a train and asked very loudly, "Would anybody mind helping me? Can you help me?" And he was obviously disheveled and... I believe he was suffering from schizophrenia. He was talking to himself, but he was asking for help. And in my own hard-heartedness, I ignored him, confessing here. Didn't pay much attention, because it's a thing you see all the time in Atlanta and other cities like that. And finally, he came up to the lady that had the bread. He said, "Can I have a bag of bread?" And she said, "Sure." Gave it to him. And he went back to his seat and continued talking to himself, and opened up the bag and started eating the bread. And then a few minutes later, there was another lady that was sitting directly across facing this lady. So now she had two bags of bread. Now she's down to one. And there's another lady with a walker sitting directly across from her in a bunch of grocery bags, somebody you would call a bag lady, destitute, obviously, you know, lacking resources. And so the bag lady, and I don't mean that insultingly, asked the lady with the bread, "Can I have just one bun?" And the lady opened up the bag and gave her one of the buns, and she just ate it with relish as if she might not have eaten in days. And I said, "That's Jesus." Because what would Jesus do? Whatever somebody's needs were, Jesus met them wherever they were and took care of them. And so the lady got ready with the bread. Now she's down one bag plus one bun. So she didn't buy two bags of bread, you know, with the intent that she wouldn't need two bags of bread, but she's now one bun short in her second bag. And I said, she got ready to get off the train. I said, have a wonderful day, sister. And she said, "You have a blessed day in Jesus' name." In Jesus' name. I said, "In Jesus' name." And we parted. It's so encouraging sometimes when we fall short to see somebody out there that's still loving the world. People still care about each other. And I feel guilty that I didn't respond directly to the man's appeal, but seeing this lady's example, I'm encouraged to do so the next time. And that's the same spirit that I see here in this congregation. There are people out here who are hungry. We don't just let them sit and be hungry, right? We do what we have to do. To have people who are, you know, who they, if they come to us and we advertise the availability of food, if they come, we make sure they have food, right? In those ways, we're doing what Jesus would do. and all set aside all the doctrinal things. Some things, John often talks about things that are salvation issues versus things that are traditions and so on and so forth. But these things are at the very core of what Jesus was about and what he did. And if we're trying to emulate him, what he would have us to do. So I just commend the congregation, and I'm actually sorry I can't, haven't been able to do more than I've been doing, distracted with many other things of life in trying to survive and take care of the family and so on and so forth. But I just commend everybody, Willard, making sure these people have what they need, and everybody else that participates in that ministry. So with that, I'm going to continue with what I prepared, which is really a continuation of something I presented before. Things that make you go, hmm. And that thing yesterday was something that made me go, hmm, I'm falling short here. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Beginning at verse 16, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." It's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So in this passage, we see that Jesus is, he's given, gone through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Then after the Sermon on the Mount, he goes through a healing spree, going everywhere, healing people. In Matthew 9, we see him teaching and preaching and healing. And then in Matthew 10, he names the 12 apostles, and then he gives them this commission, going out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And what I really want to focus on is that last verse, because all the most of these things I've covered previously, where we need to beware of men. He told us that. He told us we need to beware of false prophets. He told us we need to beware of evil workers. He told us we need to beware of improper philosophy and empty deceit. That's the one I want to focus on, because we're dealing with so many things in this world where we get false messages. And these false messages, as they get repeated over and over and over again, I don't remember what the psychological principle is, but when you hear something over and over, you hear it enough times, you start to believe it, no matter how false it is. So now we have a presidential candidate that's referring to other human beings as vermin, just like a Nazi dictator did, you know, 90 years ago. We hear lots of comments about the conflict that's going on between Israel and Hamas, and the automatic reaction of many people is stand with Israel. But when you are speaking as the Spirit, as your Father was speaking in you, as this verse from Matthew 10:20, it requires that we listen to the Spirit, just like Jesus was when he was tempted, right? And Satan came to him with, you know, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He tempted him in all three ways that we're tempted. But every time, Jesus' response was a scripture. And so as we hear these messages, as we hear, listen to the news, as we read things online, as we look at people's social media posts, all this information, we need to filter through this. What does this say before we speak? Because if we speak, because we're commanded here to speak as the oracles of God, right? Everybody remember that verse? Speak as the oracles of God. So if we speak before on some of these things, before we compare to what's here and understand what this says as opposed to what the CBS Evening News or Fox News or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Vladimir Putin or anybody else you want to name is saying, we will find ourselves not only in a bad position, in a bad standing in relation to that principle of speaking as oracles of God, but we also disturb, upset, and harm the cause of Christ. Because what you find is that we will absorb these political messages, these political philosophies, these philosophies of men, this philosophy and empty deceit that Colossians 2:8 talks about, and we absorb that. And no matter who we are, myself included, I'm guilty, sometimes it'll go in the ear and it'll come right back out the mouth. And we haven't even filtered it through this yet. I've done it. I have to check myself sometimes. Listen to my sources. Okay. Generally, you know, there are certain sources that I will generally tend to agree with the things they present. And even those, they go off the rails. They go, you know, according to this, they go a different direction. So we have to be able to filter those things. So in this conflict, and I just want to share a couple things with you. I'm not going to make this a political thing at all, but want to make a couple of observations. When Jesus was about to be captured, you remember Peter took out his sword, lopped off the ear of the high priest's servant, and he got admonished by Jesus, right? That wasn't the right thing to do. And what Jesus wanted to understand was that his mission was not a political mission. You remember where he said, if my kingdom is not of this world, if my kingdom was of this world, I would fight, but my kingdom is not of this world. So we, as Christians, by his example, we can't get caught up in all these things that are down here where people are trying to take care of their most base instincts and where it's an eye for an eye. Remember Martin Luther King said, you know, eye for an eye leaves both people blind? Well, in this situation, that's exactly what's happening. About 1,400 Israelis have been killed, but now we're at, 11,000 men, women, and children in Gaza. Have to ask yourself if that's a proportional response. And is that something that that we would vocally support, killing somebody in retaliation for killing somebody? I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm just going to ask you to think about it and ponder those things. There's also a lot of things that, and I'm not even going to go through a list, but there's some things, there's some issues in society that we automatically assume that there's a Christian position on it. And in some of these things, in this, by taking this Christian position, people have suffered a great deal of harm, where it's economic harm, whether it's physical harm, whether it's health harm. And we have to ask ourselves, is this position really Christian if it's not seeing to the needs of human beings like Jesus did? Because remember, whatever it was and whatever the sin was, Jesus was there not to judge, but to help them through it, to meet them where they were, and to forgive. He didn't call on anybody to, he didn't call on Peter to lop the high priest's servant's ear off. He didn't do any of that. So these things we have to think through. And we have to, again, filter through this. Some of these things that are, again, we automatically think of as being Christian positions, in order to properly understand them, we have to understand the context, who was speaking, who they were speaking to, and also, this is just like biblical exegesis, why they were doing it. And sometimes it's difficult to understand other people's motivations. But in this worldly realm, the golden rule is what prevails. He who has the gold makes the rules. not do unto others. No, he who makes the gold. So in many of these things, all you have to do is follow the money. So I'm gonna give you a couple resources now. And maybe this will never be a Bible study, but maybe a book study outside. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to do that at some point. But there was a book that I've recently, not too recently read, but had a great deal of influence on me in helping me understand the origins of some of those Christian positions in society and some of these Christian movements, some of these Christian messages. And it's this book is called Jesus and John Wayne. And it's written by someone in theology up here in Michigan at Calvin College. And I'm just going to read the whole stuff. Jesus and John Wayne, how white evangelicals corrupted a faith and fractured a nation. So their thesis is that the evangelical movement has taken Christianity and hijacked it, and that's what's causing one of the major divisions in the country. I'm not going to say one way or the other whether I believe that's true, but it's something to think about, and be happy to, if you want to get the book, have a book study on it and walk through these things to help us all understand where some of these messages are coming from and who some of these people are. People whose names we recognize. You know, I have spent a great deal of time with a spiritual advisor, a church parent, so to speak, who was a Baptist preacher. And we were having some discussions about doctrine. And he was asking me if I studied this person or that person, and all these names. And I hadn't read any of these people. There were people that were either affiliated with Moody Bible Institute or promoted by Moody and promoted out here in general Christendom as people who know something. And I happened to mention John's name, John Clayton. I said, well, you know, I sit under the teaching of a man who has a biblical antiquities museum named after him. His name's John Clayton. Never heard of him. Okay. Well, you know, we can't judge and ascribe people to be any individual to be higher than what is written. You know, so that's where I had to leave that. But again, Jesus and John Wayne, something to strongly consider. One more resource I want to share. In this, I spoke about the conflict in the Middle East that's going on right now, which some people say has the potential to mushroom into a world war. We don't know. But in this conflict, I've heard some things very commonly. One thing I've heard is that these people have been battling back and forth for, you know, 2,000 years, so what's going to change now? And so I've heard things about, you know, supporting the Jews as God's people, Israel as God's country. Well, we know that we're the spiritual Israel of the church, right? Yeah, according to 1 Peter, we're a royal priesthood, the chosen people, a holy nation, and that was in reference to the church. But anyway, we hear things. People saying they support the Jews. We hear other people saying they support the Palestinians and the Muslims. And this, so there's this religious back and forth. What I haven't heard in any of this is, what's the role of Christians? And how do Christians figure in? How do they and we, how are we part of that equation? And it's my perception, and you can say, you may have a different perception. You may have heard other information that is different from what I've heard. But I haven't heard anybody talk about the impact on Christians and what Christians are doing or what Christians should be doing or what Christians are advocating there in the Middle East in this conflict. And so there's another resource that I'd like to offer that deals with Christians and what has happened with Christians that are in that geography. And it's called God on Our Side. God on Our Side. And it's available on Tubi. If you have any kind of streaming platform, Tubi is a free streaming platform. And this is called God on Our Side. And it takes things from a perspective of Christians who are going through this and living every day. What it's done for me, and this is a resource Adela found, and she had watched it and was impressed by it, and she didn't have to twist my arm, but she encouraged me to watch it too. But what this gave me was just that other perspective that I hadn't thought about what's going on with Christians over there. And so this, at least, was a firsthand account from people in the church right there and what the history has been with this nation of Israel that exists now and with the Palestinians that live in the area. So I just wanted to offer that. I mentioned earlier one of the reasons that, or a couple of reasons why it's important to understand and to be wise as serpents, like Jesus said, and harmless as doves. As I said, we've done a lot of harm by some of these assumed Christian positions. And the thing that is really impactful about any of this is that the wisdom, if we are able to apply it, number one, we have the protection of God. When we're walking in His wisdom, He protects us every step of the way. It also keeps us from having our steps impeded. You know, sometimes we make some mistakes in life that will, the consequences get in our way later on. You know, we do something that, we spend money unwisely, go out and buy a $100,000 vehicle, and next week we lose our job, and all of a sudden, you know, different situation. But when we're walking in wisdom, those kinds of things don't happen, and those consequences we get to avoid. And finally, wisdom gives us life, because ultimately, when we walk in wisdom, it protects our lives. The fact that we aren't out there in the street at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in a bar partying, you know, when the shots ring out, well, you weren't there. Life is preserved. My oldest brother didn't have that wisdom. He was there. Life was lost. Easy, simple example. So with that, I just want to encourage us to continue to filter these messages that we hear from broadcast media, social media, from our friends, from our family, from our spouses. Let's filter through this so that we can respond and speak as the oracles of God, so that we can avoid harming the cause of Christ and running people away from Jesus and the church, and causing these other physical and spiritual and social harms. So thanks for bearing with me through this little bit. Bill will come to us with a song of invitation. Thank you much.